Hi, guys. I'm Coach Jake, and Coach Bob is out of town this weekend with some family. But we call all of our pastors here coaches because we believe that God wants our church to be a team, and that our role as leaders is to help every single person here in this room find their position with God, the way that God wants them to get involved right here in this community. And so if you've been coming here for a little while and you feel like I'm still just a spectator, I'm not on the field active, please come and talk to Wayne or Josh or me or Bob. We'd love to get you plugged in and active here at the church. So let's pray and we'll get started today. God, I thank you for who you are. And God, in this time, I don't have wise words by myself or eloquent words by myself to teach about your gospel. I pray that you would come with your power and that you would teach us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're starting a new series called Into the Light. And we're going to be looking for a few weeks at this image of light that gets used in the Gospel of John and also in 1 John, the book. So we're going to look at a few different times where this image gets used to talk about God and life with God. And so today we're going to really be looking at, do we want to be in the light? Is that what we were really looking for? We're going to start off talking about this idea of kind of a roadmap to a better life. If I had a little questionnaire for all of you guys to fill out today, and the first question was, do you want to have a better life? I think most people would probably check that box and say, sure, I'd like to have a better life. That sounds nice. If Steven's pointing to himself, yeah. So most people will be like, yep, sign me up for a better life. If my second question on that survey was, well, what do you want to have better? It's probably kind of an umbrella of just a few responses that would get said. Things like, I want to have better health. I want to have better relationships. I want to have a better job. I want to have better finances. Those sorts of things would probably come up maybe in slightly different ways, but over and over and over again. And hopefully, if the survey had one more question on it, was, well, how could you get there? If you want to be healthier, how can you get there? If you want to have better relationships, how could you get there? I bet you guys would start to list off some things kind of like this list here. We already know a lot of times the steps to take to get to that better life. A lot of times we already know, well, if we want to have better health, you know, if we quit smoking or if we started exercising or started eating better, if we want to have better relationships, you know, spend more time, go on date nights with our spouse or spend more time with our kids or work on our anger problem or something like that. A lot of times we know some of the steps we could take to get to that better life. So I want you guys to kind of remember that in your mind. That all of us might say we want a better life, and that all of us probably know some steps we could take. So keep that in your mind. We're going to come back to that idea. I'm going to go a little bit of a limb and say there's something that's not on this board here that I think most of you guys would probably want to have better in your life. You're here at church today, even though the Chiefs are playing right now. And so I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think you guys probably care about God in your life. I think you have at least some desire, even if you're not sure yet, but you have some curiosity about a better relationship with God. And for a lot of you, that might be a big pursuit in your life, if I want a better connection with God. Well, Jesus lays out really simply, how do we have a connection with God? And it's probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible. We're going to take a look at that and start with that today. It's John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the reason this passage is so famous and gets quoted over and over again is because it says some really important things really fast. It says that God loves you. I mean, that's a giant truth. That the God who made everything actually cares about you. And it also says he doesn't just care with his mouth. He doesn't just say nice things. He cares with action, that Jesus came and suffered and sacrificed and died to make a way for us. And so kind of in this verse, it's talking about this idea that we were in a mess. We needed saving, and that Jesus came and offered us that salvation. He goes on to say in verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's kind of like if you saw someone on the train tracks while a train's coming, you don't just start yelling at them about how much of an idiot they are for being on the train tracks. You get them off the train tracks, and then you tell them, like, don't do that again. And when you look at how Jesus treated people through the stories of the gospel, he would jump into people's mess and pull them out of the mess. And he'd also tell them, hey, you need to change the way you're living. But Jesus' first words out of his mouth weren't typically judgment to people. And if you haven't had a lot of conversations with God, I want you to know right now, today, he doesn't want to start by telling you how wrong you are. He wants to start by helping you out of this mess that you're in. And he is going to have real clear instructions about here's the way to stay off those train tracks. But his first goal is to get you away from that train that's coming. Okay? So next verse here kind of spells that out even a little more clearly. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So here the Bible's telling us that we're drowning on our own. On our left to ourselves, we break relationships, we hurt ourselves, and eventually we just separate ourselves totally from God. But that Jesus is this life preserver that's been thrown out to us in the midst of drowning. And we've got an option. We can either keep drowning or we can reach out to that life preserver. So that's the options that Jesus is laying before us today, that life with him or be left to ourselves. So all of those verses I just said can kind of be summed up really simply in just this image, if you're more of a visual person. This idea that in our weakness, we were stuck in darkness. But if we'll reach out to Jesus for help, that he's strong enough to pull us into the light. So it's a very simple idea. The interesting thing about those simple steps to have a better life is Jesus gives us pretty simple steps to have a connection with God. He says, what you got to do is believe in me, accept my love, accept my sacrifice. So that sounds simple, just like all of this other list sounds simple. Going to the gym isn't intellectually, you know, it doesn't take a big amount of intellectual power to realize, well, the way to be healthy is to do some very simple stuff. The interesting thing about this list and New Year's resolutions and even our walk with God is a lot of us know the right steps to take, but a lot of us wake up each morning having still not taken those steps. We know the right things to do, and yet each day we wake up and think, why is life still a mess? Why is my marriage still struggling so much? Or why do jobs never work out for me? Or why are my finances so stressful? Or why am I so anxious? We wake up with these same problems, and even though we might be able to fill out on a survey how to get over those problems, it seems like we can't get over them in our own life. And as much as we talk about maybe wanting a better job or a better marriage or this or that thing, I kind of start to question whether we really want it. Imagine if you were in a jail cell and the guy across from you in another cell is sitting there talking about he wants to be free, he wants freedom so bad. And you look over his cell and you notice the keys to the jail are in the door on his cell. And he keeps talking about how much he wants to get free. At some point, you'd be like, well, buddy, I mean, just turn the key and get out. And you start to question, well, does he really want to be free as much as he talks about wanting to be free? Something is keeping him here. He feels more comfortable with these four walls than he does with freedom. The passage we're going to read here, the end of the passage, you know, the John 3:16 is a very famous verse. Lots of people memorize it, put it on signs. But Jesus' conversation didn't end there. And we're going to read a few more verses here. I think it's got a lot to teach us about why do we know the right things but not do the right things. So, you know, if we're stuck in a jail cell and the key's right there, why don't we turn the key and get out? Well, as I was thinking about that this week and thinking over these verses we're about to read, it reminded me of an experience I had when I was a little kid. Probably you guys have all had some similar experiences to this. When I was a little kid, little boy, wanted to learn how to ride a bike, like most kids at some point. My siblings were older. They already knew how to ride bikes. And my friends were starting to learn how to ride bikes. So my dad took me out to learn how to ride a bike. Well, I fell a whole bunch. Did not learn. Could not get the hang of it. Tried and tried and tried and gave up that day. And we tried again another day. Well, this pattern repeated over and over again. And something I started, you know, if you had asked me, Jake, do you want to learn how to ride a bike? I would have told you, yeah, I want to learn how to ride a bike. But I started to kind of avoid the whole topic of bikes or learning to ride the bike. And my dad had to, like, force me to go try to learn how to ride a bike. Like, I never brought it up to him. He had to, like, keep pushing me to do it. And like a good parent, he knew what was best for me, made me do some stuff I didn't want to do. And eventually I did learn how to ride a bike. But I started to wonder, why did I act that way about riding the bike? I started to avoid it. Like, if I heard you guys talking about bikes, I probably would have just, like, gone and done something over there. Like, I was embarrassed about bike riding in general. And you might think, well, maybe you were scared of falling because there was a lot of falling involved in learning to ride the bike for me. But a lot of stuff I did as a little kid involved falling and getting cut up. And I've got scars on my knees from getting cut open so much stuff, climbing trees and jumping around and playing outside. I really kind of wore those cuts and bruises as badges of honor. Like, I'd always try to let things bleed as far as they could down my leg and, like, show it off. Like, I thought that was cool. So I don't think I was really scared of falling on my bike. I started to think about it this week. What was it that made me avoid learning to ride the bike so much? And it clicked for me. Here's another picture. This, again, is not actually me, but something I would also do as a kid is, you know, if there was a stick on the ground, you know, I'd pick it up and start sword fighting or, you know, playing as if it were a gun or something like that. And I always had this imagination that I was this hero saving the day, you know, this big, strong, coordinated guy who would come in and save the day. Well, the thing I think I didn't like about trying to learn to ride the bike was I came face to face with a reality that I didn't like, that didn't fit with this scene that I would imagine, is that the reality was I'm not very coordinated. And when you're just falling over and over and over again and other people seem to like they're learning a lot faster than you, then you don't like that. Because it breaks that view you have of yourself. It was fun for me to imagine myself as this hero, but being face-to-face with the experience that I wasn't very coordinated was something I started to run away from. I didn't want to be in that situation. And this is something I think most people don't learn about themselves. It's easy to say, oh, I didn't want to ride the bike because, oh, I'm busy today. I would have made you some excuse about why I didn't want to go learn. But the reality was I didn't want to go learn because it showed that I wasn't who I hoped that I was. It put a big spotlight on a weakness of mine, and I didn't feel comfortable with that. So Christ is going to sum up these verses he's been telling us. And he says this in verse 19. He says, this is the verdict. So when he says that, he means, you know, you guys might know John 3:16, but here he says, here's what it all boils down to. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So Jesus is saying, I'm the light. But very sadly, he's saying, he's saying, I'm good, I'm the light, I'm what's best. But the rub is that nobody wanted him. The people actually pushed him away. They loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. He goes on in the next verse, spell it out even more for us. He says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. You see, when we come into the light of Jesus' presence, Jesus starts to spotlight those weak areas for us. And it's probably not coordination, to be honest. I don't know if Jesus is super worried about whether you're coordinated or not. But there's weaknesses that you have, and it's not comfortable to have those shown up, okay? When we come into the light, if you've got dirty hands, then that dirt shows up. Whereas if you just stay in the dark, no one ever sees all that dirt and grime that's on you. If you stay far away from God, You don't have to face the fact that you hold on to bitterness. You don't have to face the lies that you tell yourself. No one exposes them. And so people tend to run away from God rather than running to God because they're afraid of who they really are. It's not that God's bad, but is it coming into his presence shows all the crumminess that's inside of us and that it's time to deal with it. A lot of us don't want to deal with it. We want to keep make-believing that everything's okay. That's a real thing. You know, people might say like, oh, I don't get up and go to the gym because I'm just too tired or I'm too busy. But the reality is maybe you don't go to the gym because being in the gym makes you realize I don't have the physique that I want to have. And so maybe that's the thing that's keeping you out, is the fear of seeing that. This is a lot more important than going to the gym or not, though. A lot of us know that reading the Bible is a great way to hear from God and to grow as a Christian. But how many of us read the Bible last week? If you know that, yeah, some of you, that is great, yeah. A lot of us have. But ask yourself, if you haven't been reading it, why don't you read it? You know, there's lots of good excuses, just like I would make good excuses for not going to learn to ride the bike. Maybe you've been working overtime, or you've been really tired, or your kid has been sick, or there's always excuses. But maybe the reason you haven't been reading is because when you read the Bible, God starts to put a spotlight on some things in your life that need to change. You know, when you read about the way that Jesus talks about money, I know when I do this, I feel like, oh man, I'm not living up to it. I feel like a really nice guy until I read about Jesus' standards, and I think, man, I'm greedy and fearful and anxious. That spotlight's not comfortable to get into. But the reality is, if we don't come into the light, we can never improve. It's like the guy in the jail cell. If you don't turn that key and get out into the scary world, then you'll never have freedom. You'll be stuck in that cell. If I didn't have a dad that pushed me to learn to ride a bike, I'd probably be one of those adults who don't know how to ride a bike, which isn't the end of the world. But I had a lot of good experiences because somebody pushed me to overcome that fear of being exposed to myself. Jesus has one more verse for us. He says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You know, this passage that we're reading today, it's told us that the truth is that we need saving. The truth is, no matter how much we look like we have it together on the outside, that we have problems, that there's grimy parts of our life that need God's help, that we can't fix it on our own. It's easy to check a box and say, oh, I need help. But it's different to come to a small group on Wednesday nights and to tell a group of guys or a group of ladies, here's what's really going on in my life. Let's shine the light into the nooks and crannies of my life. And let's get honest about what is actually going on. The reason that's scary to do is because if you really show the real you and you show it to good Christian people, like the people we have in our small groups, they might have some thoughts about like, hey, well, maybe you shouldn't live with that person, or maybe you need to get a handle on this addiction, or maybe this friend isn't the best friend for you right now. And that's hard. It's hard to give someone else permission to look into the dirty corners of your life. Because when we let someone else in, when we let the light shine into that, we have to face the reality that maybe we don't have a good reason for the things that we're doing. Maybe we know better, and we're going to have to actually face those questions that we don't want to face. Because when we read the Bible, when we come to small groups, when we are open with other people and we're open to God, God's going to want us to change. And that's not comfortable. I've got a thought for us today. I've got one more slide I want to show. Before I get there, though, I want to tell you guys something that Josh Monk was sharing in his class today. He was ending up his class talking about how most people half-step with God. They're halfway in with God, but not all the way in. And he said it's really, really hard to actually follow God the way that he wants you to. Most people don't do it. Now, you guys who are blessed enough to know Josh, you know that Josh is a straight shooter. Josh is someone we can trust. Josh is saying that most people half-step with God. That means in this room right now, there's a lot of us in here who kind of want God, but aren't really going to live it out. Jesus told us, here's the verdict, most people hate the light because it exposes them. Jesus is saying, if you want to live by the truth, you got to come and lay it all out before me. And you got to say, Jesus, you're better than me. Jesus, save me. Show me the better way to live. It's more than just checking a box. It's more than saying, I know the right answer. It's saying, God, I want to open up to you. We've got two different roads we can go on today. One is we can stay like I was trying to stay as a little kid, stay in make-believe land where we get to be the hero and nobody questions us and we don't have to change. Or we can take the steps that we already know are good steps to a better life. We can do those things that Christ is telling us to do. If you're not reading the Bible every day, I think that's a great place. Start in the book of John where we were just reading today. Read it every day and try to ask yourself, God, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do? If you're not in a small group, or if you're in a small group and you're not being very open, show up to this Wednesday. Open up a little bit and say, here's what's really going on in my life. I need help to get better. Because the reality is God's told us that all of us need his help. So if you're not reaching out to the Bible, if you're not reaching out to other people for help, then you're hating the light. You're covering yourself up. And God is a powerful, incredible God, but he's not going to force himself on you. He's going to wait till you open up your hands and say, here it is. Here's what I've been hiding from you. Today we're going to have some people down front ready to pray with you. We're going to have the worship team up here. This is our time of response. Today, here's my challenge for every single person in here, from Bob to Chris to Wayne. My challenge for all of you is that you check yourself right now. You check your gut and say, do I really want the light? Do I really want God to get involved in all of my life? Do I really want to open up the nooks and crannies to God? Because that's the real question. Jesus will save you if you open up. But you've got to say, God, I want your way, not my way. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. Jesus, I thank you that you took the first step to us, that you reached out to us in love. Help us to have the courage today to open up to the truth, to open up to the truth that we need you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.